You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two thoughts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz taking you around the NFL and a little bit of college football. Ben Stevens out today. He'll be back on Monday. But gentlemen, George Kurtz and I will be breaking down the NFL schedule that was released yesterday. Georgie boy, it's great to be talking NFL action. We're starting rookie camp. Spring training and obviously fall camp on the horizon, but it's great to be talking NFL with the schedules released yesterday afternoon.
You know, it's amazing though, Joe. Listen, I watched it last night. I mean, I recorded it. I didn't watch it live and, sped through what I wanted to see there. But everybody's so excited about the schedule release when you realize next year, not this year, next year, we already know 14 of the games next year. Right? There's only three games you don't know every year. Now, so, you know, if the place, if you're in first, you play with two first place teams in your conference that you're not that you're not playing a division as it is, and of course that 17th game, which is a once again you'll play whatever place you finish against the conference against the division of the other conference. That's all we don't know. The only thing we don't know is dates and times. Yet people go bananas about this. And like I said, it's interesting. I want to know who the Cowboys opened up against. I want to know who they're playing on Thanksgiving and what other primetime games they have. But I just find it so it's so whack that we know 14 of the 17 games every year immediately. This is the only thing you don't know, date and times.
Well, yes, but at the end of the day, George, we know that football drives the bus, right? We're in baseball season, and I mentioned spring training. I get confused. I got spring football. We got fall camp, rookie camp. It's all thrown into the mix. But at the end of the day, we know football in terms of the NFL and college rules, especially from the gambling perspective, right? So when you talk about futures and you talk about team win totals, you really need to know when these schedules play out and fall on particular days so that you can make logical bets, right? And in terms of really trying to catch value, that's what it's all about. That's why there is a lot of hoopla surrounding the schedule release. And at the end of the day, it just brings us a little bit closer to the season. We know that the long off season of college and pro football really takes you. It's almost like climbing Mount Everest. I mean, think about the off season. I mean, from basically February through August, we have nothing to talk about. So at the end of the day, at least now, we can get chomping at the bit in terms of particular teams that we like, games that will break down, especially in week one. And hey, you never know, maybe a little bets along the way.
Oh, you're absolutely right. This does help the future bets, because that's what I wait for as well, as far as making out. Okay, well, and right there, I think it seems to win 7 games, 5 games, 9 games, what it is. So yes, it does help that. You're absolutely correct. But the NFL could, listen, next Thursday, we're going to put logos on a projector for an hour. Watch at 8 o'clock on ESPN. People will watch. It's the NFL. People will watch. You know, it's just amazing what how the NFL markets their product is fantastic. The other leagues should all take a major look at what the NFL does, especially Major League Baseball. How they sell their product, how they sell the games, how they sell the players, the teams. They do a fantastic job. Absolutely. But like I said, Yes, we can look at week one now. I saw the spreads last night. You know, I think the Cowboys are down to 2.5 points to Tampa Bay, I believe. You know, Cincinnati was favored by 6 over Pittsburgh. Those ones just stood out for me for whatever reason. I didn't think any was all that whack, to tell you the truth. Like, oh, we're definitely going to bet on this game. I thought they were pretty good. Some I like, some I don't. But I didn't think any were, wow, that's just wrong.
Well, I do want to bring up one particular game because Carver and I talked about it briefly in terms of last night's show. It is the September 12th matchup of Russell Wilson coming back to Seattle. Right now, Denver is a 4.5-point favorite on FanDuel against the Seahawks and Pete Carroll. And he said, you know what? I wanted to see Russell Wilson maybe week number 4, week number 5, after he's been acclimated and implemented with that offense, you know, to get used to, you know, just the scheme and see his best product. And at the end of the day, they are squaring off in week number 1, potentially maybe because they know Seattle will suck with Drew Lock at the helm, or maybe it's, you know, to try and draw in fans. But what do you feel about that matchup? To see Russell Wilson back in Seattle, only this time in a Denver Bronco uniform, week number 1?
Yeah, like I said, I'm surprised it's week 1. Yeah, you would have thought the NFL maybe would have wanted the season to get going a little bit before you make that matchup. But I guess there's not going to be too many sexy Seattle games. They could be a bad team, so let's get it out of the way early and when there definitely will be people eyeballs on the game. But surprised, like, as you said. I said we're not sure who the quarterback of Seattle is going to be, but I don't know if it matters. This is one where I unless weird things happen between now and September 12th, I'll be betting on Denver to win that game and cover the 4.5. I don't care if he's going back to Seattle. He'll be comfortable there. I don't think Denver's all that worried about it. I guess the situation with Judy, what happened with him yesterday, make things a little bit more cloudy if he were to be suspended, but that's about it.
Yeah, and the charges with Jerry Jeudy, he was arrested yesterday, faces charge of criminal tampering with domestic violence. So we'll see how that situation plays out in Denver. That could be potentially one less weapon for Russell Wilson. They still have Javonte Williams. They still have a host of other talent at the wide receiver position to complement Jerry Jeudy. But if Denver's going to make a run at the AFC West title, you would like to have Jerry Jeudy in the lineup with Russell Wilson from week number 1. We'll break down the complete slate of each and every team. Week 1, when you look at it on FanDuel, the opening game is Buffalo -1 over the Super Bowl champion LA Rams right now. LA plus the 1, -115. George and I'll come back. We'll break down every team. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz talking week 1 of the NFL schedule. Ben Stevens is out today. He'll be back with me on Monday. We'll get into some futures bets as well. I left off talking about the situation with Jerry Jeudy in Denver. Just want to clarify, I said that he faces criminal charges in terms of domestic violence enhancer, which you're going to have to Google that because I'm not quite sure what the situation is. It's not straight domestic violence, so we'll see how that situation does play out in terms of Denver and Russell Wilson, how that affects the week 1 line. Right now, Denver is a 4.5-point favorite on the road in Seattle that Monday night game, but we'll talk about the first game on the board, that Thursday night matchup, and if you want to gauge whether you're a contender or a pretender, what better way than to take on, obviously, the Super Bowl champs, and that's what Buffalo gets to do. They are the front runners right now in terms of the FanDuel Sportsbook, have the best odds to potentially win the Super Bowl with their head coach Sean McDermott and their marquee quarterback Josh Allen. They are, George, 1-point favorites on the road in L.A. Now, I think L.A. will be there, especially when you look at the division. No Russell Wilson. That's one less obstacle for L.A. to overcome in terms of teams like San Francisco and obviously Arizona with Kyler Murray. But I like Buffalo on the road here. Laying a point, I think that Buffalo used this game as a gauge. Now, We are about 4 or 5 months away. We get it. But we're still breaking it down early on in terms of where this line is right here and right now. And, you know, Buffalo has something to prove. They don't like how they ended the season. Obviously, in a dramatic loss in overtime to Patrick Mahomes. I think they're going to be chomping at the bit to take on Aaron Donald and obviously Matt Stafford and that offense in L.A.
Oh, I agree. I think they know. Buffalo knows it's got to be our year, right? We got to do some damage here. We can't keep losing deep in the playoffs here. We got to get to the bowl, right? So I think they'll be ready for this game. I think they are the better team. I know the Rams are the Super Bowl champions, and they might be the favorite to go back again from the NFC. The NFC is a weaker conference. It just is. It's really the Rams, Tampa Bay, now that Brady's back. That might be it. You know, I don't know without Devontae Adams how much I'm fearing Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers there. So, in my mind, those are the two favorites to get there again. They've been there the last 2 seasons. I think they'll be there again. Also, Buffalo, their schedule to open up the season, I mean, you get the Rams, then you get the Titans, Miami, at Miami, by the way, in September. That won't be fun because it's going to be 1,000 degrees down there, at Baltimore. Three of your first four games are on the road. All right, then you get Pittsburgh. Okay, you should take care of business there, though. I guess you could say it's the Trubisky revenge game or whatever. And then you're at Kansas City before you're bye. I mean, wow. Think about it. That's
tough.
A rough stretch. That's a rough stretch here. But I'm with you. I'll be on, like I said, unless weird things happen between now and, you know, 4 months from now, I'll be on Buffalo as well that Thursday night.
Well, think about this. In terms of that schedule, okay, you get through that schedule right now, and you start 5-0 overall, you can make the argument McDermott is coach of the year or a potential coach of the year candidate at 25-1. Ben and I talked about this as a long shot. Like, what do you expect for Buffalo? They are front runners in terms of the Super Bowl odds. If they get through that gauntlet, and especially in the month of September, you have to catapult Sean McDermott as potentially coach of the year candidate. And 25-1, that's not bad value, right? Secondly, I guess if you are Buffalo, and you're looking at the teams that you have to face. Now, I will say this about Miami. Miami, they beat up each and every year. They abuse them in the interior. I don't care if Tyreek Hill is there. Tua is not going to be able to move on that Buffalo defense. I'd be shocked with the nerd Mike McDaniel at the helm that they knock off Sean McDermott. Even though the game is in Miami earlier in the year, I expect Josh Allen to have a field day. But you mentioned Kansas City. You mentioned Tennessee, which they lost to 34-31, where Allen slipped on the potential fourth down. So you get through that, you're going through some of the top teams in the AFC and NFC. I mean, you got to feel pretty good going through the month of September, even if you go 4-1, right, George?
Oh, you go 4-1, I think you're thrilled. Absolutely thrilled. You can't expect to win every one of these games here. Now, I read the same way as you do, right? You know, they did lose that Tennessee game because, once again, he did slip, right? He couldn't get the quarterback sneak in there for the touchdown. They do always seem to beat Miami. You know, Baltimore's not – I don't think they're great yet. We'll see what they can do with their passing offense, and they'll certainly beat Pittsburgh. But, you know, they could be 3-2 as well here. My problem with McDermott for the coach of the year is this, and this is not just McDermott. It's when you're the coach of a good team already where we expect great things from you, how much greater can you be to get coached? They always want you to be better. You know, they always want the guy who we expected 6 wins from who gets 10. That guy gets all the pub. Or the guy, the team we didn't expect to do quite as well. It may be a playoff team, but we didn't think they're going to be that kind of team, and they are.
Right.
That team gets the more pub. So why doesn't Bill Belichick, why didn't he win it more years? It's because of that reason.
I totally agree.
Buffalo would be great.
I totally agree. And to your point, that's what I brought up with Ben yesterday. I understand why Belichick is 30-1 and obviously McDermott 25-1. But then why is Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur 16-1 and 14-1 respectively? I mean, Shanahan brought the team to the NFC Championship. What are you expecting? I mean, Matt LaFleur has potentially the best quarterback in all of football in Aaron Rodgers. So what's his excuse? Why is he shorter odds than Sean McDermott? Can you explain that?
No, I can't. Like I said, I guess, okay, I can go this. With Buffalo, once again, tougher conference, right? There's so many good teams in the AFC. Buffalo, I think Miami will be improved. By the way, there might be your coach of the year candidate if Miami can be that team. You know, they can figure it out.
Let's not anoint them just yet.
I'm not anointing them. I'm not putting a gold jacket on them, to quote Bill Parcells. But that was a great line, by the way. But I think that's a team that, okay, we think they're going to be good, but maybe they're that good. You know, and that would be the kind of pub that could get that. You know, but anyway, you got Cincinnati, right? We got Baltimore. All right, we got Indianapolis, who we expect to be good. Tennessee, who we expect to be good. Then every damn team in the AFC West. You know, I think the AFC West is going to get so much pub. I think a lot of these awards are going to come out of the AFC West because of all the pub that's going into this season. Oh, it's going to be a brutal division. You know, all those interdivision games they got to play, it's so tough that they're going to get all that extra pub.
Right, which means that if McDermott, let's say, does go 15-2, to pick them off at 25-1, now I'm not saying it's easy, but if they navigate through that schedule, that's great value. You have to say he's got a better shot than Shanahan and LaFleur at that time, right? Meaning if we're just talking first month of the season, they go 5-0. It's like, hey, Sean McDermott's got this train cooking now. Right, I'm just saying that. I do want to get your thoughts because Allen Robinson does move from Chicago to the L.A. offense. What do you expect out of him? Because he was like the forgotten man in Matt Nagy's offense last year. They wanted Cole Kmet involved. They wanted the running game with David Montgomery. We saw Mooney step up. He was like basically a couple of games where he didn't have a catch. He didn't even have a target basically until like the fourth quarter. It's like, hey, he's your number one receiver. You got to utilize him. He was like the forgotten man. Could he step up and potentially be a 1,000-yard receiver with Matt Stafford at the helm?
Oh, I'd be surprised if he's not. You know, I'm not going to predict 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns, but I think 1,000 yards, you're not asking for much. You do the math on 1,000 by 17, what is that, 60 yards a game? You know, yeah, I think he'll get that. I think he'll be productive. I think he'll get better as the season goes along because, you know, hey, chemistry, a little bit to work with Stafford there. But, yeah, I expect Robinson to have a good year. You said it. Listen, we've been on Chicago, the office, forever, right? I mean, they don't know how to use their players. And Robinson couldn't wait to get out of there, and I don't blame him. Now he goes to a team that will use him. All right, you got all-world Cooper Kupp. All right, Van Jefferson will be the deep guy to get the safety out of there. Robinson should roam across the middle. I mean, he should have free reign, do whatever he wants across the middle. Right, so I think he's going to have a nice season. I mean, more than a nice season. I think Robinson sort of a sleeper there to have a good, solid season, but over 1,000 yards, if that was a bet, yeah, I'd be making that.
I tell you, when we broke down MVP odds, if Matt Stafford does, let's say, throw for over 5,000, has this team back in a division title hunt and potentially Super Bowl appearance at 14-1, you throw a little on Matt Stafford because he didn't win the Super Bowl MVP last year. When we come back, we'll break down some other teams. Keep an eye out. Buffalo right now on FanDuel Sportsbook, plus 650 to win the Super Bowl. LA Rams plus 1,100 at 11-1. We're coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
All right, continuing to break down week one of the NFL schedule, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid. You want to join in on the conversation, give us a call, 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. Tell us about your team schedule, which game you like, dislike from week number one. We'll bounce around, George, and we'll keep it in the New York area. And the reason why I bring it up is because Brian Daboll takes over the reins for the New York Giants, takes over for Joe Judge. And, you know, he's going with Daniel Jones. Now, they went with the offensive lineman, Evan Neal from Alabama, take Kayvon Thibodeau with the first overall pick. But he picks up Wan'Dale Robinson, which is an elite wide receiver out of Kentucky. He's a Tyreek Hill type of player, right? Giants are 6.5-point dogs to Tennessee. Now, A.J. Brown moves on from Tennessee to Philly. You get Treylon Burks in the first round. Derrick Henry coming back. Back at 100%, right? Played in the playoff game. He's back at the gym. If you watch the viral videos, Derrick Henry's definitely in shape to rush for 2,000 yards. Tannehill was depressed, right? We got Malik Willis there. I don't know a lot about this game in terms of I'm not pulling the trigger on a side, even though I lean to Tennessee, but I love already the over of 43.5. Tell me how the Giants defense is going to stop Derrick Henry. And on top of that, I think Brian Daboll could cook up some points in New York. Give me the over 43.5. It's my best total of week number one already.
I'm not going to say my best total, but I probably agree with you on the over for the reasons you said there. I do worry, can the Giants score points? You know, I mean, Tennessee defense really good. We know they're going to get the quarterback, but the Giants are going to find out their offensive line is better real quick. Real quick, because Tennessee's going to commit to Daniel Jones. So that'd be my one worry there as far as that. I mean, how many points do we need Tennessee to score to get this? Probably 27. 30.
I think
we need at least that. I think we need at least that, really, for them to get that. And even that,
they
I'd be worried.
Get that. You don't think
27-14 is already not going to get us there. 27-13?
No. I was thinking 20. You know, you want to put it on the spread, 27-20. Right there, I could see that game playing. I still think that the Giants could get at least 17, no?
In Tennessee, it's a good defense. Giants, I mean, we don't know about Daniel Jones. I think the Giants, by the way, are playing the long game here. What I mean by that is I think they know next year's a big year for quarterbacks, and they want to suck again. You know, that's when they'll get their quarterback. That's why they keep it Daniel Jones. Didn't make a move for any of these so-so quarterbacks. You know, Saquon Barkley, I don't know what he's going to do. And you mentioned all these wide receivers they have. And they have a lot of names. Galladay, Shepard, Tony, Slayton. You mentioned the rookie Robinson. You got better technically at tight end, mainly because you didn't have any. Ricky Seals-Jones. But we're not talking about a juggernaut here. We're just not. I said I do like the over with you as well, but I don't think this is as cut and dried as you make it sound. And we do need Tennessee to score points here. I think I need to feel good about it. I probably need Tennessee to score 30-plus.
I think we can get there, though. I
agree. I'm going to go with the over. I'm with the over. I just don't – I wouldn't – I'm definitely not phrasing it as my best – over of the week.
Well, maybe I'm a little, you know, I embellish a little bit, but I'm excited because when I see a 43.5 point total, when most of the totals for week one are in the area 51, 48.5, 52.5, 44.5, we're getting a little bit of value. There's some lower totals out there like San Francisco and Chicago at 42, Cleveland and Carolina are at 43. But you gotta, you know, here's the thing. Brian Daboll's not going to run 24 times in the first half like Joe Judge did on the road in Chicago with Mike Glennon at the helm, and where Mike Glennon threw four passes the whole game, right? He's an offensive-minded coach, especially coming from Buffalo. Maybe he dials it up. Maybe he allows Daniel Jones to chuck it 35, 40 times in this ballgame. Anything can happen. We still can get interceptions, turnovers, and now you're talking a short field with the King Henry, pounding the rock maybe 45 times in week one. Maybe he goes for 250 in the first game of the year.
Maybe. Like I said, the Giants, they're an interesting team, but first you have to believe in Daniel Jones, and I just don't. You know, I said the wide receiver core, you can make something out of that. Barkley, maybe he does have something left, especially early in the season. I can certainly see that. And they brought in Braid as a, I want to call him change of pace back or backup, whatever he is. I don't think that much. I mean, Ricky Seals-Jones, I don't think he's all that great a tight end at all. But he's something there. It's the right wide receivers. Can Galladay be the guy he used to be with Detroit? You know, can they have a reliable secondary guy? Can Kadarius Toney stay healthy for more than a quarter?
Yeah.
You know, if they do, this something could be happening. But more importantly, the offensive line. Is Evan Neal going to fix things? Andrew Thomas at left tackle. You know, are they going to have that line? That's going to be so important. If they don't, then nothing changes anyway.
Right. That'll be the question mark. That'll be the question mark for the offensive week number one. I will say this. One game that does stand out that I actually like, okay? I said I like Buffalo laying the 1 point Thursday night. One underdog I do like is a rematch of last year. Jalen Hurts went on the road to Detroit. They absolutely abused the Lions. I think it was like 33-6 or 33-7. Now they're laying 4.5 against Jared Goff and the crew. I was... Very opinionated about Detroit all offseason, saying that I'm on their win total over 6.5 at plus one. Now it's plus 125, I believe, on FanDuel. But you want to give me 4.5 points, week number one at home? I'm going to take my shot with Aiden Hutchinson. I love what they did in terms of the draft. If Khalil Pimpleton makes the team, which I believe he will, he's a pocket rocket. You couple him with St. Brown and Hawkinson, hey, look out. Detroit can maybe score some points. I don't know about the total 46, but I'll tell you what, I think they're alive week number one in a rematch against Philly. Dan Campbell will have this team up and ready, plus the 4.5, and more importantly, George, plus 172 on going out on a limb now. One of my best bets for week one. I love it. I don't like it. I love it.
Good, good. You don't like it, I love it. Fantastic. I don't know if I have one that I absolutely love. I was looking at this last night. I don't know if there's one that I got. I go up and down and goes, oh, this is the one I'm going to take here. This is the one I'm absolutely positive of. There are some I may like more than others. I mean, certainly Indianapolis over Houston, you know, giving up 7.5. I think it's going to be terrible. Number. It is. It's on the road, and it's a division game. All right, and that's always an issue for me because division games are always played generally tighter than you might think. I kind of like Miami over New England.
Oh, you know, do you? No. No, they won last year. No, I don't. I'm a Dolphin fan. All right, tell me why you like Miami over New England. Yeah, tell me why you like that.
Oh, I don't think New England's all that good. I think they took a step back. And I don't like the moves they made. I mean, I say this probably almost every year, but I think I take a step back. I do like what Miami's done. And once again, it's opening weekend. Even under Brady, New England had a tough time playing Miami in Miami in September when it's that hot. That hot. So that's what I'm going to be going for there. So I'm probably, the more I look at it, the more and more I'm digging about that. I might be big on Carolina if Deshaun Watson's not playing week one. Yeah, I might actually take the 4 points in Carolina. See what's
who
going on.
Who starts in Cleveland? Is Mayfield still on the roster at that time in September 11th, or do they release him at some point in terms of June or July? That is the biggest question. You can't keep Baker Mayfield on the roster with the situation with Deshaun Watson. You just can't do it now.
Yeah, Gabe and I have gone back and forth on this. This will be because we both believe if I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm showing up. I'm going to your mini camps. I am going to training camp and force you to release me because they have to release him. Everybody knows you have to. He cannot be on the roster, so it won't be Baker Mayfield, even though he's better than the backup they have now, but it won't be him. They have to release him. They can't have that kind of circus going there. Can't have that, especially, will the NFL let Deshaun Watson show up to training camp? Or are they going to keep him on whatever they're going to do? I imagine no, but that would be intriguing as well. So, no, they'll have to release him, so it won't be Baker Mayfield here. But until they do, I'm showing up. I am forcing your hand here.
I don't know.
I want that to happen just for the drama that would be. That would be fantastic here. No, I think there are some teams waiting for him to be released so they don't have to pay any kind of price for him, including the contract, any draft picks, players. I think they'll release him. I think Cleveland played this badly. I think they had to realize that as soon as you traded for Watson, you had to trade Mayfield. It almost had to be two trades at once.
Right. They should have did that.
Yourself.
They should have packaged Baker Mayfield with Deshaun Watson to Houston because that makes total sense for the Houston Texans.
I guess Houston wanted the draft picks. They weren't taking anything less, even if you were including Mayfield back. They wanted all the picks. That's not my guess. I can almost guarantee that.
Right.
I don't know what they get. 4 number 1s. They weren't taking 3 number 1s. They wanted 4 number 1s. You know, because you're right. That does make sense. They need a quarterback there. But I think Cleveland, what they should have done is, you know, if Joe Lisi's the GM of Seattle, you talk to Joe Lisi. Hey, Joe, you want Baker Mayfield? And before you consummate that trade with Houston, you make sure Mayfield's heading to Joe Lisi in Seattle.
Yeah.
Two trades done at the same time. Because once you did this, every team realized, Joe Lisi realized it. Every other GM of a team that needs a quarterback realizes, I got you over a barrel. You get nothing. I know you got to release him. You can't have the $19 million contract hit. So they made a lot of mistakes here.
Yeah. Well, let me go back to the Miami game and tell you why I don't like Miami. Now, Miami defeated New England both times last year. That was with their head coach, Brian Flores, that absolutely coached very well and owned Bill Belichick. He understood Bill working for him, understood his strengths and weaknesses. And I think that's the one attribute not a lot of Dolphin fans give Brian Flores. I know we got him to 9-8 last year. They failed to make the playoffs. They started 1-7, but he owned the Patriots, and that team played very well. Now it's a step down. Mike McDaniel coaching his first game against a coach that just eats up rookie head coaches, George. I don't care if Tyreek Hill's there. I don't care if Jalen Waddle's there. We still got the nerd Mike McDaniel going up against the mad scientist in terms of Bill Belichick. I think they step up. Plus 2.5 could be an outright special plus 122 for the Patriots. And then Mike McDaniel will realize he's back in the big leagues. Total is set at 44.5 at minus 110. Either way, we'll come back with some other games. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
All right, last segment of the show, we're continuing to break down the week one schedule for the NFL. We talked in the break about not a lot of marquee games. Obviously, the Monday night matchups and the Thursday night battle between the Bills and Rams stand out. But for the Sunday games, there's maybe three: George, Raiders and Chargers, Green Bay, Minnesota, Kansas City, Arizona. That's all I could see. I mean, obviously, divisional games there. You have Dolphins and Patriots and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. We don't know how both of those teams are going to look, but let's look at Green Bay, Minnesota really quick. -1.5 for Green Bay. I tell you what, I like Minnesota. You have a new coach there in O'Connell. Catching 1.5 at home, +102. We don't know Aaron Rodgers without Devontae Adams. And we know that the Vikings typically step up against the Packers. Slight underdog, +102, could be live.
It certainly could be. It's an interesting game to find out, right? It's a tougher game. Once again, another division game we're talking about here, which I don't love to bet one way or the other. These teams don't like each other. It is at home. I don't trust the Packers right now because I don't know about that. I mean, you're asking a lot for Aaron Rodgers to make somebody else a great. I mean, he lost like 80% of his targets last year in Devontae Adams and whatever you think about
Scantling.
MBS.
Right.
Yeah, whatever you dying here. But whatever you think
is
about
he all
him.
Right there?
I'm off your chair. I'm going through it now. A little frog in the throat there. A little frog in the throat. You see, you start talking. Start making fun of the Packers, and I get all choked up, Joe. Anyway, are we ready to anoint Minnesota's coming after them? I think Green Bay is ripe for the picking. I do. All right, because I don't. I think they helped their defense. Sure, I like the moves they made on defense. But you let Adams go, and I'm not saying they did the wrong thing. By the way, I understand a lot of teams KC with Tyreek Hill. The Titans did it. Either you're going to pay the wide receiver, or you're not going to pay the wide receiver. Right? That's really what it came down to. Do you want to go young? The Packers decided to go young. But do we think Christian Watson's going to hit the ground running here? Because I don't like what I see other than that. Alan Lazard, I bet
Lazard is good. Lazard is good for what he does, but he's not a pure number one. Right.
No, not a number one. Sammy Watkins, we know, he won't play 17 games. He'll get hurt. He'll have some big moments. We'll make a big play here and there, but that's about it. Randall Cobb's, old him in dirt. Amari Rodgers, we haven't seen him develop yet. Their tight ends aren't all that good. Tanyan and DeGuara, they're not. We love the running game. Probably the best running back duo in the NFL in Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Are they going to become a ground and pound team? Rodgers, funny, be that kind of team. They're going to have Rodgers get that safety to start, to come in, play 8 men in the box, and Rodgers can go over the top off that. I think they're going to live off the running backs here. And I think Aaron Jones is going to have a big season catching the ball out of the backfield.
Well, remember last year they opened week one against Jameis Winston in New Orleans, and they got absolutely boat race. What was it, 35-7? That was the game where Winston put up, 5 touchdowns in week one? We were going to anoint Jameis Winston as the NFL MVP, finished with 14 touchdowns, 5 against Green Bay and 4 against Washington. So you never know. They can start slow. So we'll see how that game does play out because the total is set at 48.5. We don't know what you're going to get out of O'Connell. I brought this up in terms of with Ben. O'Connell's a legitimate shot in terms of coach of the year because he's got the pieces in place. I mean, think about it. Kirk Cousins, veteran quarterback, Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison, right? You have Justin Jefferson and Thielen there. I mean, the foundation is there for that offense, something that Zimmer couldn't really take this team over the top. Now, does the defense fall off a cliff? Potentially. But, I mean, if they can outscore Green Bay, hey, they got a shot to win the division. That's the way you have to look in terms of Minnesota, that if Minnesota does win the division somehow, some way, O'Connell most likely could be coach of the year just the way Stefanski was 2 or 3 years ago with Cleveland.
Absolutely. They'd be that team that, yeah, we expect them to be a good, solid team, go for a wild card. But if they can beat Green Bay, because people love that, oh, you beat out Green Bay, and you win 12 games, sure, he would have a good shot at this, because they think that's the guy you're looking at, a guy who we know they're a good team, but we don't expect them to be great, and they outperform what you expect them to do. It's why it's so hard for a coach on a good team to win, because we already expect you to win 11, 12 games, and you pretty much have to go 14-3 or 15-2 to get consideration.
Let me ask you this in terms of, do you like rematches for week one? We saw your Cowboys cover the spread, go down to the wire, almost knock off Tom Brady in Tampa last year as an 8-point dog on Thursday night. Now the game is in Dallas. It's a rematch of last year. Now Tampa Bay is a 2.5-point favorite. As a Cowboy fan, you like opening the season the same way you did the year prior?
Well, the problem is when you ask the Cowboy fan, they've done this so many times before. It's just that we always open against the Giants, 4 years in a row? So that got to be, oh, come on, enough. So now you see that the Bucs, even though it's only the second year in a row, I'm almost like the same thing. I'm like, come on, man, really? Can we not have a little diversity here? So I think for a normal team that hasn't done this, I don't think you mind. But for the Cowboys, yeah, we've done it. The Cowboys have done it too many times. I guess we're like, come on, somebody else. So that was my first thing. I'm like, oh, did we just do this last year? Yeah, so that was my thing there. That being said, you got to play them. You know, it'll be a good game, Sunday night game. I figured the Cowboys would play Sunday night. They usually do to open the season. So get it out of the way. You know, get it out of the way early here. Tom Brady 6-0 against Dallas. Jerry Jones doesn't own the Cowboys. Brady owns the Cowboys. So don't expect that to go well. In week two, Dallas plays Cincinnati. This could be a rough opening start for the Cowboys, and both those games are at home as well.
I don't know. I sort of lean to the over 51.5, right? They chucked it all over the yard in week one last year. Even though the game was in Tampa, Gronk had a big part. Tom Brady stepped up. Dak stepped up. And it was like, oh, Dallas could have an explosive offense this year. So if I had to pick that game, I would lean to Tampa. But I like the over 51.5. Speaking of Cincinnati, they boat raced Big Ben last year, put up a 40 spot on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now they're laying 6 against Mitch Trubisky. At least we think it's Trubisky week one. Maybe it's Kenny Pickett, but I still think you have to give Trubisky a shot, at least through the month of September. 44.5 is the total. Now, we see that Baltimore's inked as a favorite in the division. I don't know how they could put Lamar Jackson in Baltimore over the team that got to the Super Bowl with their star quarterback, Joe Burrow. I'm still a believer, even though I hate Zach Taylor. I still believe Cincinnati is the team to beat in terms of their division this year. And I think they boat race Pittsburgh to start the year laying the 6, George.
I'm probably with you on all points here. All right, I think this is going to be a win for the Bengals here. I think they are the better team, at least the team I trust more. I need to see about Baltimore. I understand they had a truckload of injuries last year. All right, I get it. You know, and that theoretically they shouldn't have that problem in September, but I think until someone beats Cincinnati, they are a team to beat there. I don't think Baltimore's that far behind, mind you. I don't. You know, I think they're pretty close, pretty good team themselves there, right? They should have their running backs back healthy. They should have that secondary back healthy. But I don't know. I mean, that passing game at the – Anthony and Mark Andrews is a whole bunch of question marks. I do like Rashad Bateman. I do, Joe. I like Bateman. But he's got to prove it. And now you're a number one. Right? You've gone from being, all right, you got Watkins there, you got Brown there, Andrews, good running game. Now it's you. It's you and Andrews that make that passing game work here. So that's my main reasoning here for putting them a little further down here, where like Cincinnati Moors. I don't trust that passing game whatsoever.
All right, so FanDuel does a fantastic job, and if you haven't been in New Jersey and gone on their site or another state that does have FanDuel, I suggest you go on, because they did implement stats on the particular game, which I happen to like. I like to see where the money is, percentage of bets and percentage of money in terms of the potential contest, right? So you talk about this ball game with Cincinnati. Now, I don't know how much is wagered on this game in terms of the book in New Jersey, but 84% of the money from the spread perspective is on Cincinnati early on, and 71% of the money is already on the Bengals in this ball game. Okay, so think about that. Now, I will say, when you look at the week Thursday night game, 83% of the bets and money is on Buffalo. 88% of the money. I'm shocked about that with a one-point spread, George. I mean, when you go through some, now it could only be, let's say, it might be only five bets, and four of them are on Buffalo, but still. I mean, think about that already. I mean, when you go through the list, 52% of the bets and money, roughly, are on Philadelphia. Okay, so that's from the spread perspective. 57% of the spread money is on Houston. 93% of the spread is on Atlanta, catching the four against New Orleans, which is absolutely crazy. You know, are you believing in Mariota? I know they beat them last year in the Bayou with Matt Ryan. But, I mean, come on. Here's another game. Everybody's buying into the Jets. Great draft. Zach Wilson's the savior in year two. Salah's going to coach up that defense. They're catching 5.5 against the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar runs for about $175, 3 touchdowns, and I think Baltimore covers the 5.5 easy in the Meadowlands against the New York Jets.
I want to fight with you here, but I'll fight with you on something.
Oh, you can fight with me. We love fighting here.
Yeah, but I agree with you. That's the problem here. But, you know, I do wonder about the Jets. You know, can Zach Wilson take that next step? The pieces are there. They had a fantastic draft. The pieces are there. If Zach Wilson can, I don't need him to be great. Listen, I think there are two quarterbacks. I know there's probably one or two, but the two quarterbacks who I'm looking at the most this season both play in the AFC East. That's Wilson and Tua. If Tua can make that next step, they could actually be more than they could be a Super Bowl contender with the talent they have there. You know, if Zach can make that next step, I think they could be a playoff contender. But you got good running backs, right? You got Hall, right? We have receivers. We like what they've done there. Moore, Corey Davis, you got Garrett Wilson now. You more than fixed the tight end spot with Uzma Conklin and Ruckert. You know, offensive line, I don't know. I have my doubts that Becton wants to play football. You know, but if he does come back and he can play right tackle, it looks like now, if he can just be serviceable, I don't need to be great anymore. Just be a decent right tackle. The offensive line should be solid. They made some good moves on defense here to get Jermaine Johnson here. Quinton Williams, right? Lawson will be back. I mean, I like what they've done here. I really like what they've done here.
It opens down George, to Zach Wilson. You're sipping the Kool-Aid, brother.
Sipping the Kool-Aid, but there's a lot of ifs
Kool-Aid.
Here. There's a lot of ifs with the Jets. No doubt there's a lot of ifs, but it all comes down to Zach Wilson. And I don't know. He got better last year, Joe. He was terrible early on, so it didn't take much to get better. But he did get better. Now he did get better. Can he take that next
George,
step?
George, I don't know. Better is what? 200 yards and a touchdown and a pick better, maybe against a garbage team?
But he didn't have much. He didn't have the weapons he has now. I think he'll be better once again as the season goes along here. I don't think they're going to beat Baltimore. I don't. You know, I think they're going to
get boat raced. That would be one game I'd be willing, under a touchdown, I'd be willing to lay it with Baltimore. Easy. I just think defensive-minded coach and John Harbaugh, you got a team that's physical on the offense and defensive lines. They upgraded significantly in terms of the secondary. Kyle Hamilton, Lamar's going to be focused. I don't know. Too many people are sipping the Kool-Aid here, but 52% of the spread money is only on Baltimore. I like that, especially early on. That means people are buying into the New York Jets, potentially getting over their 5.5 wins this season in 2022. I don't buy it. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
We've been recapping the week one schedule for the NFL that got released yesterday. One game we didn't talk about, which is sort of ironic, is Carson Wentz does move from the Indianapolis Colts to the Washington Commanders with Ron Rivera, the team that he lost to last year to potentially catapult the Colts into the playoffs. The Jacksonville Jaguars is the team that he faces off against in week one. He's a 4-point favorite against Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence. I can't buy into Carson Wentz. I can't buy into Ron Rivera. I know it's a feel-good story. He won the division a couple of years ago, but he ran that team into the ground last year. And I understand they didn't have consistency. I understand that Chase Young got hurt, but that defense wasn't as dominant as they were a couple of years ago. And I'll tell you why. You know what? I'll take a shot with the Jaguars plus the 4. I don't love it, but I would take the points in that ballgame.
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to go in there. You know, RG3 on NFL Live yesterday, they actually had Washington as a surprise contender for the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. Did he really? Yeah, Is he kidding me?
I don't know what he was smoking, but he actually mentioned that the Jets are going to win 10-plus games. And so they were – you could see Damian Woody is his face in the background going like, what is this guy smoking? You know, it's going to be Jets versus Commanders Super Bowl. So that would be pretty wild here. I don't think I can go Jacksonville here, but I think this is a game I believe. I do think Washington, by the way, could be a surprise team to win the NFC East because the East is so bad. And nobody wins that division 2 years in a row, so I'll knock the Cowboys out there. I think it's Philadelphia that's going to win it, but it wouldn't shock me if Washington's a better team. They did underperform last year, no doubt, so there could be something to that. But anything further than that, I'm not going there. But I'm not taking Jacksonville here. If anything, I would probably go to Washington, but I'll tell you this is a game where let's see what Wentz is.
72% of the spread money on the Washington Commanders, 56% of the outright money is on Jacksonville. So we'll see how that plays out. Keep it where it is each and every day. Ben Stevens will be back next week. For George Kurtz, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Tufort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our 4 favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.